cost me.
A light jacket. Hey, it's so sweet how I emerge, making glitchy, glitchy, bougie people come party with us, kicking and spurring. So I'ma
sugar free
and keep me a light jacket on. Take the bitter with the sweet and keep my hookers in the straight and keep
sugar free.
Oh yeah, I'm on my way up to glory with this one.
What's going on, people? That's that new DJ Quicks with Sugar Free. That's called Life Jacket. Get DJ Quicks' new album called Midnight Life. That's at iTunes right now. I am your host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ready to chop up some good games, spit some hot fire. Glad to have everybody tuning in on this wonderful, wonderful week. Don't forget to check out Hidden Colors at HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can get 1, 2, 3. Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. And also, you guys can get all that fresh fly gear. Get the Tariq Elite boots, the Tariq Elite shirts, jackets, sunglasses at TariqElite.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where you go to get all that good stuff. And we're going to get right into some good game right now. Let me put on some Mackin music so I can chop it up with the family real quickly. We're going to get right into it. And today's show is going to be real quick to the point, not too long. We're going to drop some game like I usually do. I'm going to read an email from one of the listeners a little bit later, but I want to touch on a couple of things that's been going on in the news. Shout out to the BET Hip Hop Awards. They had the BET Hip Hop Awards that came on television last night. I think it was last night. Snoop Dogg was the host. Shout out to Snoop. Now, I was watching the awards show. The ciphers were good. They had a lot of good ciphers. The best one in the cipher to me, well, shout out to David Banner. David Banner, my boy, who was in Hidden Colors 3. He was in one of the ciphers Dave represented. He dropped some real heavy knowledge. And Remy Ma and Papoose, they did like this Bonnie and Clyde style verse that was real fly. That was real unique to the cipher. Nobody never done that before. That was real fly. But the one who stole the show is this young lady from Detroit, this chick called Detroit Shay. Her ass was spitting hot fire. That girl was spitting fire. She shut that shit down. So that's the next chick up. I hope they get her and market her a certain way and figure out how to get her to the masses. But that sister, as far as just raw spitting, she's the next one up. Because right now, we don't have too many real thorough female rappers. The only one we have now is Nicki Minaj. And again, they had to market her a certain way. And Nicki Minaj is popping off right now. Shout out to Nicki Minaj. I like Nicki Minaj. But this girl, Detroit Shay, is a beast with the mouthpiece. And I want to see, it would be very interesting to see how they market this young lady with her skills. She's almost too good as far as spitting. But we'll see how they market that young lady. So you guys, if you get a chance to see the repeat of the Hip Hop Awards on BET, check that out. Another thing, what are these niggas wearing out here? Am I getting old? Am I becoming the old fart because all these niggas looking moist? Is moist the new thing? These niggas had on leggings and skirts and shit. What are dudes wearing now? Is that... I can't get with some of these outfits that some of these hip-hop cats are rocking with right now. Niggas are rocking some Forever 21 stockings and shit. I can't rock with that. I don't know what... They're trying to push this style on the young black youth, and I'm cool on that. Or maybe I'm just the old fart. I don't know. But it looks moist to me, but I digress. But again, Snoop was doing the hosting of the show, and Snoop Dogg has been in this kind of Instagram Twitter beef with white female rappers. Speaking of female rappers, Iggy Azalea. And this got started because Snoop posted a picture of like this, I think it was an albino person with braids, and he said, hey, that's Iggy without her makeup on. So he was just making jokes, and that's what Snoop does on his Instagram. I follow Snoop on Instagram, and you know, Snoop makes jokes. He jokes about a whole bunch of shit. He puts up a lot of funny pictures all the time. Some of the pictures he puts up are hilarious. So I think it was just jokes. It wasn't a personal jab. And that's just my conjecture on it. But Iggy, she saw it and she kind of got a little bent out of shape and kind of sounded like she tried to G-check him a little bit. Like, why would you say that about me? And I thought we were cool. And so Snoop kind of went back and forth with her. He was like, bitch, you know, bitch ho, you know, they kind of went back and forth. Because I don't think he wanted to be G-checked on that. It was just jokes, and she kind of took it to another sensitive place. And he was like, you know, kind of went off on a little bit. So they kind of went back and forth. So T.I. had to call Snoop, and they got on their grown man convo. And Snoop got back on his Instagram and apologized and said, hey, you know, everything is cool. My bad. I apologize. Let's keep it pushing. And that's commendable. But what was interesting about the whole thing, again, a lot of people, because Snoop was calling the bitch hoe, you know, that's what Snoop does. That's how he gets down. And some people I saw on some of the social networking sites were talking about, oh, how dare he disrespects a woman, calling a woman out of her name, calling her a bitch. Oh, Snoop was wrong for that. Oh, he shouldn't have done it. My thing is, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Now y'all criticizing Snoop for calling women bitches and hoes. Snoop has been calling women bitches and hoes for 25 years. One of his first songs was Bitches Ain't Shit But Hoes and Tricks. I mean, Snoop has been calling bitches, using the term bitches and hoes for 25 years, since 92. I think that's 25 years. I mean, just he's made a legendary career off of it. And among other things, that's not the only thing, but among other things, now that the jabs are directed towards a specific white woman, all of a sudden, oh, you can't do that. Oh, wait a minute. Now you're overstepping your boundaries. You see how that works? See how that game works? Because look, on social networking and Twitter and Instagram, black people are made fun of on a daily basis. You have memes going around with black people. You know, every time there's a ratchet black person on the news, people have a field day. Oh, God, there's a fire. Oh, Jesus, there's a fire. So black folks are made fun of, especially black women, all the time. That Donna Goodall, P.O.P., baby, that she's made fun of. The black people, black women are made fun of on social network sites all the time. Now that the joke is on a non-black person, all of a sudden people like to cry foul. That goes back to what Paul Mooney said. Paul Mooney said that a lot of people in the dominant society, they love cracking jokes on black folks, but they do not like the joke to be on them. Paul Mooney said when he does comedy sometimes and he's doing jokes about white people, they will get the hell up and leave sometimes. They do not like the joke to be on them. So my thing is, I don't give a shit about Iggy's feelings, to be honest. I mean, it was jokes. Let's keep it a joke. So don't get all of a sudden bent out of shape and we're supposed to bend the rules now that the joke is on you. Sometimes we get clowned. Sometimes we get joked on. And nobody's exempt from that. And that's my conjecture. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of online criticism, there was a lot of criticism for Chris Brown. Chris Brown was on, I think, Twitter, and he spoke some real shit. He was talking about Ebola, and Chris Brown said something. It was very simple. It wasn't nothing too elaborate, but he said, hey, I think this Ebola thing might be some type of population control mechanism. Something to that effect, he said. And then a lot of people jumped on his case. They got on his case heavy, like, oh, don't you say, you shouldn't say that, and how dare you say that? You sound like a conspiracy theorist. I mean, a lot of mainstream press got on Chris Brown's case for saying that. And that's another interesting thing, because a lot of entertainers, when they're saying dumb shit or shit about black folks or just conspiratorial things about the black community, like Lil Bootsy, like when Lil Bootsy got out there and did an interview talking about African Americans are the worst race and all that. Some of these same critics, they don't have all that vitriol towards artists when they talk about other black folks. They'll give them all the airtime they need to throw black folks under the bus. If you want to get out there and use the media to say black folks ain't shit and black folks need to do this and black folks need to do that, they'll give you all the airtime in the world. But when you start criticizing the dominant society or the system of white supremacy, they'll shut you up quick. That just lets you know you're not equal or considered equal in the system of white supremacy. That's why you got to have your own parallel system going on of your own equality or your own empowerment. It's very important to get a system of empowerment going on, because what Chris Brown said was not incorrect. If you really want to go deep, this whole Ebola thing is definitely a population control mechanism. A disease did not just pop out of nowhere. Let's just be real. Because again, I had an argument with a black lady who was a Negro bedwench about this, and I talked about this on my Ustream show the other night. I was having a conversation with a black lady on Twitter because she's a doctor and she works with a lot of people in the medical field and people who spread the word about Ebola and all that. And she was criticizing me for criticizing the medical industry for putting this Ebola bullshit out there, telling me that I was a conspiracy theorist saying that Ebola was created by the white supremacists, which I still stand by. And this woman kept defending white supremacy. I was talking about Tuskegee. I was talking about a whole bunch of stuff to validify my claim. And she kept defending white supremacy. So I asked her a personal question. I said, ma'am, do you have a white significant other? And she started to filibuster and dance around the question and talking about her man was Puerto Rican and all this. And I said, ma'am, does your dude consider himself as white? So she kept dancing around the question until I went to her Facebook page and I found out that she had a white significant other. Her dude was white. He looked white. But a lot of people will try to play you like you're some kind of conspiracy theorist when you state facts. Again, no disease just popped up out of nature that just magically targets one group of people and just kills them immediately. That didn't happen. This shit was manufactured, just like a lot of other diseases. It was manufactured, tailored, and designed. And this has been going on for a long time when it comes to the dominant society coming up with medical devices and medical warfare against non-white people, particularly black people. This is not a stretch of the imagination. When you have the Tuskegee experiment, where they admitted to targeting black males and the whole black community and giving them diseases and not treating them, don't think that it's a reach or a stretch to believe that they won't do this with another disease. They just got caught with Tuskegee. That's the thing. They didn't come out, understand this, they didn't come out on their own and say, hey, guess what we did? We did something we should not have done. They didn't do it like that. They were caught. And then they just had to own up to it after they got caught. You just couldn't lie your way out of it because all of the documents. So they said, okay, fuck it. Yeah, we did it. Our bad. So let's be very clear on that. This is how they learn how to reword things and not document things so much. See, the dominant society, they have to know how to redefine and not redefine, but refine white supremacy. You have to refine it. When you make a mistake, you learn how to refine that mistake. They said, okay, we got caught that time, but we're not going to get caught this time because we're going to reword everything. We're going to put a whole bunch of black faces out there to make it seem like they're working with us to find a cure for these diseases that pop up and only attack black people. But the Ebola thing is definitely a population control mechanism. There's so many books on this. Medical Apartheid is a book we talk about all the time. The Eugenics Program. And why don't you guys Google Global 2000 Population Control? Google that. And there's been books about how they've been trying to and coming up with ways of depopulating the planet and getting rid of melanated people. Also, check out Google the term Agenda 21. Let me give y'all some homework to do after y'all listen to tonight's show. That's another population control document. And also look at the Ebola virus and the patent that's on it. The Ebola virus has a patent. It's patented by the United States. So a lot of this stuff it's not a coincidence to believe that this stuff is manufactured and directed towards black people. That's not a stretch, and people should not have gotten on Chris Brown's case. And I was defending the brother on Twitter, because that's another thing. A lot of times when black folks, especially black artists, state their opinions on certain things, we leave them out there to hang. See, we'll criticize a lot of black folks for not representing the community and saying some real things. They'll get criticized for not doing it by black folks. But when they do say something real, and the white supremacists and all these people start attacking them, we just kind of turn around and dip our heads, and that's not a good look. We leave a lot of black folks out there to hang. We got to stop doing that. That's why a lot of the people who shot Malcolm X and a lot of the people who took down the Black Panthers, a lot of these people are walking around today. They're walking around and they're just chilling like nothing happened. We'll allow stuff like that to go on because, see, we don't have no code of conduct in the black community anymore. We got to get on that. We got to definitely get on that. But again, this whole Ebola thing, man, this thing stinks to high heaven. This is something that they've been planning for a long time. And also, when they have anything like this pop out, they always blame Africa. And again, that's another way for them to get into Africa. See, you're going to kill several birds with one stone. That's how white supremacy has refined itself. You refine yourself to the point where you can kill about 10 birds with one stone. One bird you can kill, you can reduce the population, tailor the population. They're not going to get rid of all black people, just like our brother Neely Fuller said, because you got to have some black people in order to practice white supremacy. But you got to tailor the numbers so that your numbers, if you are recessive in genes, your number won't be threatened. But not only can they reduce the numbers of non-white people with the virus, they blame it all on Africa, say that it's this wretched disease that's coming from Africa. Now we have to go over there and help. Always look at that as a red flag. When Western powers are going in to quote unquote help Eastern countries, especially Africa, that's already a red flag. When have they really, really helped Africa? See, they've been trying to get over there, especially West Africa, to get over there to get some of those oil reserves, to get their hands on that oil, to get their hands on those resources and minerals. And they got to come up with an excuse to do that. That's what they created the whole Boko Haram bullshit and that Save Our Girls thing. That was a red flag right there. When they start talking about saving somebody and you have a whole bunch of celebrities coming out promoting this thing, that's something that people on the top have orchestrated. See, movements really start from a grassroots level. If you see a so-called movement start on the top, all of a sudden, one day, randomly, you see a whole bunch of A-list celebrities and rappers and musicians promoting a cause or a hashtag, all of a sudden, that's something coming from the top. That's the same thing with that Coney thing. One day, nobody knew who Coney was. All of a sudden, just one day out the blue, Puff Daddy, Rihanna, Justin Timberlake, everybody and their mama talking about some damn Coney. That's coming from the top. Then when you see everybody all of a sudden out the blue, whole bunch of A-list celebrities and singers and rappers and actors talking about a hashtag bring back our girls or save our girls, that's something that's coming from the top. That's coming from the top brass, the top elite. And they're passing it down to the bottom. And that's always a red flag. Because you see a hashtag talking about they want to save, Western powers want to save some African girls. There's black women over here getting their asses beat by police officers on a regular basis. Nobody says nothing, but all of a sudden, everybody wants to save some African girls 9,000 miles away. Give me a break. Let's just be real. We got to use common sense here. And again, people want to get over there and get some of those resources. They want to get over there and get that oil, and they need justification to do so. So this Ebola thing is the perfect thing. So we just got to watch the whole game and see how it plays out and not fall for the okie-doke, fam. And this is why it's important to have melanoid empowerment. Melanoid empowerment is what we need globally. Let that sink in. Now let's get into some game. Y'all ready for some game? Because we are going to chop up game. Let me read this email I got from one of my listeners, ladies and gentlemen. Now I got an email from a listener about a young lady he's dating, and the email goes like this. He said, "What's up, Flex? My girl and I, we've been together for 7 months. I met her off Twitter. Her dad was never really in her life. Her mom had emotional problems and guy problems. She has an education minor and a music major and a degree from some school. I don't know what school this is." He goes on to say, well, she works at a local grocery store. She lives in an apartment with her sister. She has no car. She drinks liquor all the time. She posts everything up on Facebook and Instagram. She's a year younger than me. I don't know how old he is. I should ask him how old he was. He said, I caught her back in March giving some dude her number. And she said it was some shit about, well, she do hair for extra money. So she was making it seem like she was doing some kind of hair hookup. He let that slide. And the email goes on to say, the other night I went to drop her off at work. And before I kissed her, she got out the car and she had a pic of a dude on her phone. And she tried to hurry up and close the messaging app out. So some dude was sending her pictures of himself. So he's like, well, Tariq, man, what should I do, man? This chick is on strike two. Should I break up with her? Or should I just play dumb and just keep fucking her just for the hell of it? And I don't want to say where the brother's from. But the situation, and a lot of you brothers out there that are in situations like this. The thing is, man, a lot of times people, men and women, you try to put people in positions that they're not qualified for. A lot of times we try to put people in positions that they're simply not qualified to be in. The young lady in the email sounds like a good, cool jump off. In the position of a jump off, she sounds cool in the game. But the problem is he's trying to make a jump off wifey material. And that's where the problem comes in. You're trying to give somebody a position that they're not qualified to be in. And a lot of times we end up getting mad at the people who we're trying to force in positions they're simply not qualified to be in. Let's look at employment. In employment situations, you got to give people positions they're qualified to do. If they're qualified for the mail room, if they're qualified to work downstairs and sort out mail, you don't hire that person as a senior executive or a vice president. They're going to fuck everything up. They're simply not qualified to be in that high up position like that. That doesn't mean that they're bad people. But just at that moment, they're not qualified to be in that senior vice president position. They're more qualified to work in the mail room where you see them every blue moon if you see them at all. But they do play a role in the corporation. Now, the thing is, some people can work their way up that corporate ladder from the mailroom to the top. You don't just dismiss somebody because they work in the mailroom. They can work themselves up, just like with Puff Daddy. Puffy, the great music mogul, Puffy started off as an intern. Puffy was an intern. He worked his way up in the system, in the music industry. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people start off as interns, then they get on the payroll, they work in the mailroom, and then they have the tenacity to work themselves up into the system. But the thing is, you still have to be qualified to do that as well. You have to be qualified to do that, and as an employer, you have to be qualified and able to spot the potential of a person who could work themselves up the corporate ladder. Because the thing is, if you're running a real stable, thorough business, you want to have everybody who's a part of that business, even from the top brass to the lowest rung, you want to get the best people for each position. even the so-called low-rung positions, you want to get somebody who has the potential to rise to the top. So you want to look at their work ethic. You want to see people who work extra hours for no money. You want to see people who come in early and leave late. If they're an intern, that's what you're looking for. You look for that if you are an employer. You look for people who are very consistent. You look for people who are team players who want to see things get done. You know, you got those people and you got people who just doing whatever they got to do to get their check. You got people who come in, up, my 8 hours up, goodbye. Well, and that's fine. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you are running a business and you want people to come up in certain positions and you want to see who's qualified for certain positions, you're going to look and see how they got down when they were on the bottom rung. So while you are in the mailroom, people are still peeping you out. While you're in that bottom position, people can still peep you out. And it's the same thing with dating, family. See, the thing is, you got females out here that are, like I said, great side pieces, great jump offs. And that's cool. And same thing, women deal with dudes who are cool dudes. They're cool to come over and hit it every now and then. Like, ladies, you get a little tingling in your panties. You call up a dude that you're real cool with. You might smoke with him every now and then. Real cool dude. He comes over and hit it, and everything is cool. Y'all got a good little sexual chemistry there. You know, you ain't got to go out. You ain't got to spend no elaborate time with him. You ain't got to go on no dates with the dude. He's a cool cat. Y'all got a little sexual chemistry. You call him up, he tap that thing, and he bounces, and it's cool. You see him every blue moon. You see him in between your relationships. But every now and then, you'll get that dude who's the tune-up dude. The dude who comes to tune you up every now and then. Every now and then, ladies get a little lonely. Ladies are on the rebound, and they say, well, damn. Timmy the tune-up guy, he doesn't seem like a bad dude. Maybe I can get in a relationship with him. And then you try to get in a relationship with this dude, and everything goes straight to hell. Because outside of the sexual compatibility, you really didn't have anything else in common. He was qualified for that one little position, which is tuning that thing up. You try to put him in husband or main boyfriend position. This dude don't know how to handle money, handle bills, check in at night. I mean, he don't know how to really maintain a relationship. And then you get mad at the dude, which you shouldn't get mad. You just shouldn't try to put a person in a position they're not qualified for. And the thing is, a lot of times, these dudes were dusty when you met them. And I'm not saying that to disparage anybody, because sometimes women have sexual chemistry with dusty dudes. Some women say that dusty dudes have the best sexual chemistry because since they're dusty, they ain't got nothing else going on. So they learn how to perfect sexual practices so they can get it in the bedroom because they ain't got nothing else popping. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with a dusty dude, and there's nothing inherently wrong with hood rats, because a lot of times dudes get with hood rats and y'all have sexual fun with these people, but then you try to elevate them in a position they're just simply not qualified to do. And the thing is, see, if you meet certain people and they have shaky backgrounds, that's always a red flag. Now, the young man who sent me the email, I mean, this girl had a whole plethora of problems, especially for a dude like him to try to deal with. When you got stuff going on in your life and you got people who has a past or history that's kind of checkered, and again, a lot of folks shouldn't be judged solely on that. They should be judged on whether they've gotten over their checkered past, because sometimes we can't help what happened to us in the past. But the thing is, if we have not overcome that in a constructive way, that's going to hinder a lot of constructive relationships we try to get in. Now, this situation with this young lady, she had a checkered past with the family, the mom problems, the dad problems, and all that. And now she's basically reiterating all of that negative behavior, drinking, fucking around, sneaking with niggas and all this old stuff. And you know, her shit ain't together. So that's a reflection of her background. So she's basically letting her background conquer her to a certain degree. To some people, you come from a checkered past and you say, hey, I'm going to use this to really elevate myself. And some people get over that. But some people let that shit anchor them and it stops them from growing. And all they know is doing ratchet shit. And that's just what they do. Now, you got a choice to deal with people like that. You got a choice to deal with people like that. You can choose to deal with them or you can choose not to deal with them. Now, the thing is, if you're dealing with somebody with a checkered past and you have a checkered past, but you've elevated and grown, now that's something that would make sense. For example, you see people who were drug addicts. Like, you know, there might be a person who was a former drug addict. He's born again. He's saved. Now he's running a corporation. He got his shit together and he built himself up. He met a woman. She was a former drug addict. He said, well, damn it, I've been where you've been. I can date you and I can take you on my road and my journey and what I did to recover. So let's me and you rock, because I see where you came from and I have a connection with you. So that makes sense to a certain degree. Just like with the great singer Charlie Wilson. Charlie Wilson, one of my favorite singers. I love seeing this brother in concert. He was a drug addict. Heavy for a long time. He was homeless. I mean, that narcotic really got into him. And he went to rehab and everything. Now, he's currently married to the person in the rehab facility who helped him. This person worked in a drug rehab facility. I think she was his drug counselor or something like that. So they had a connection. And they hooked up with each other. And then they're married now. And life is happily ever after. My man is back on top of his career, doing sold out concerts all over the place. So the thing is, corporations are run the same way. This is why they do background checks on potential employees. They do background checks on you because now they want to know who they have in their building. They want to know, we don't want no shaky people around us. They do background checks. And also what a lot of corporations do, they look at social network sites. Now they're looking at your Facebook page. They're looking at your Twitter page. They want to see what you're tweeting. They want to see what you're posting up. Because if you're posting up bullshit, they don't want you in the corporation, even in the mailroom. They want to know what's going on with you. They want to know how you get down. And you should treat dating the same way. When you got people, you're dating a girl, or you're potentially dating a girl, and you're looking at her Facebook and Twitter, and there's ratchetness, that's something that you need to take into consideration. A person's Facebook and Twitter is a great indicator of how they get down, because now you get to see how they operate in their leisure time. You get to see the people they associate with. You get to see a glimpse into their ideology, their beliefs, all that stuff. So looking at their social networking page is very, very important. And also, when you date somebody, just like employers look to see if a potential employee has jumped from job to job. They kind of like people who's fresh in the game. Like if you just coming in, you fresh, you're an intern, no baggage, you haven't worked for anybody, you're down to learn, corporations like that, because now you're not checkered with any kind of negative baggage from other companies or corporations. So now you're going in there with eyes wide open and you're going to learn their strategies and you're going to tailor your knowledge to that company. See, if you go into a corporation and you got too many jobs under your belt, they're going to look and see, okay, damn, you got a lot of stuff here, but why are you jumping from job to job? There's no job loyalty. Why are you leaving all these jobs? Why are you leaving all these companies? Are they firing you? Can you get along with people? See, they look at stuff like that. And the same thing in relationships, fellas. You dealing with a girl, you're dealing with a young lady, and she's got a million niggas under her belt. You're going to feel a certain way about that. You don't want that kind of baggage. You're dealing with this woman, and she's sneak calling and sneak texting this nigga here and this nigga there. you know, that's that hood rat get over mentality. You understand what I'm saying? Hood rats, it's all about getting over. And just hood people, period. Not just the rats, even with dusty niggas. You got to understand that. With dusty niggas and hood rats, it's all about the get over game. And the thing is, you have people who've been gotten over on for so long, they want to get over on somebody too. They want to practice their own little version of white supremacy where you get over on people. And the thing is, if you're a dusty nigga or a hood rat, you can't get over on people in white society because they won't even let you get close enough to them to get over on them. You can't get over on the Koreans or the Arabs who are in your dusty neighborhoods. They don't even talk to you outside of that bulletproof glass. So anything you talk to them about is basically them telling you to hurry up and buy. If you're not buying something from them, they don't want to hear shit you have to say. So you can't get over on them. So the only other culprit to get over on are other black people. And other black people who are somehow progressive. See, dusty niggas and hood rats, they rarely target other dusty niggas and other hood rats. They fight them and beat them down. But as far as trying to get over on them, they really don't target them because they have nothing. Like nothing plus nothing equals nothing. But the black people who do have something, middle class, upper middle class, working class, they'll try to latch on to one of them and try to get their come up on. They'll try to hustle and weasel and squeeze something out of them. So it's that get over game. They want to get over on people like that. So when you're a working class person, upper middle class person, and you're dealing with somebody who's dusty or ratchet, you're opening up a can of worms because they live to get over on people like you because you're the only person they can get over on without any kind of immediate repercussions. Let me say it like that, because again, a dusty nigga and a hood rat can go rob some random person, but the repercussions are going to be handed down on them so quickly. But with you, the repercussion won't be as swift. So you got to watch out for that. But the thing is, people want to see your potential ahead of time. People want to see how you get down ahead of time before they get you into their corporation, before they get you into their environment. And you got to think the same way when you deal with women. You know, you want people and companies, they want people, and I'm talking about thorough companies. They want people who's qualified to be upgraded. Let me say that again. They want people who are qualified to be upgraded. And as a true player, that's what you want to do, fellas. You want to find a woman who's qualified to be upgraded, who's qualified and has the potential to be wifey. That's if you're spending serious time with him, like my man in the email. He's with this woman for 7 months on a daily basis. Dude, that's wasting time if you got somebody and you're dealing with them for 7 months and you guys haven't elevated or grown. Now you're wasting time. Your time is valuable. And you got to get with somebody who wants to be upgraded, somebody who's qualified to be upgraded, somebody who has the potential to be upgraded. And if you're dealing with somebody for 7 months and you done caught them a couple of times hollering at the next dude, you're dealing with a ratchet. You're dealing with a person who could be a cool-ass jump-off. Because those other dudes who she's texting, they're not sitting up belly aching about her ass. Those dudes are doing it the smart way. They're letting you belly ache with her little ratchet ass. And whenever she leaves you, they hit it and drop her right back off to you like they should. You need to put her in that rotation because she's qualified to be a cool jump off. There's nothing wrong with a jump off. Just don't try to make jump off the wifey. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Show. Don't forget to join me on Ustream this Sunday. You can tune in at TariqRadio.com, and that's when you can listen to all the podcasts. You can listen to all the recorded podcasts at TariqRadio.com, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to follow me at Twitter on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. And I will holla later. Peace.